Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
at... An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, hello, everybody. Chuck Bonnell, Julie Hayden, True Straight Up, brought to you by...
AmericasCitizenPress.com and Denver Cenogenics and Dr. Julie McCallan. Happy Party Friday.
Happy Party Friday, everybody. We started off early today. Pete...
Boyles.
You forget. Well, he's retired now.
He's retired now. Pete who?
Somebody.
Pete did something today, but on to other things.
Oh, that's good. That's
what happens when Chuck gets up early.
Yeah, that's true. He had his big retirement last show, 5 hours of...
Well, for folks who may not know, I think most people do. Peter Boyles has been a longtime radio talk show host in Denver. I think easily the king of radio talk show in Denver.
The goat,
exactly. For I started working with him. I'm going to be 64 next week, and I was, I think, 22. So that's
really,
how long
really?
I've, yeah, trying wow. to at the old KNUS Morrison Road studios.
Wow.
But he retired today. Wow. And you went to his send off party. I guess he's still going to be doing a little bit of stuff for them that's kind of helping out.
He's going to do a
sort of like a professor emeritus kind of thing.
I guess so. I think he's going to be batting coach for whoever they're going to bring up for the
Although I'm going to say this, I love Peter, but in my experience, most other talk show hosts don't feel like they need a batting coach. So we'll see how that goes.
I may get one anyway.
Don't be like my life with you and Rev. I give advice.
Well, there's taken is not
But fortunately, that doesn't bother me.
It was great. Got to see Frank DeAngelis from Columbine there. Got to see Patricia Rahm. Got to see Tim Smith. Tim is everywhere. and so many people that it was just great to talk to all those people and see them. And it was fun. It was very emotional for Peter, as he would be retiring after 200 years on radio.
Exactly. Hey, I want to let you know that what else we're going to be talking about on the show, because we'll go into that a little bit. Anil Mathai calling in, the CD8 assembly is tomorrow.
Should be at Donnybrook.
Yeah, no shocker here. Anil and the establishment kind of don't see eye to eye on how to run things. And then also, I pulled some sound and did a lot of information. I've got a lot of information about the last week hearing in Wisconsin about the election. Bizarrely, when I tried to share the article on Facebook would not let me share it, saying that it's been abusive. I mean, I could see if they want to say it's fake, if it's wrong, but to say it's abusive, is it abusive? But anyway, you know, with Peter, I started working with Peter, like I said, I started out in radio, well, working for free at then KGNU Radio, which was operating out of one of the cottages at the back of the Hilton Harvest House in Boulder, right?
Perfect.
And where we would get all the tennis balls because they're behind the tennis courts, and we would take them home. I think the statute of limitations is up on that. And then from there, I went to KLMO Radio in Longmont. And then bopped around a little bit very quickly and started working at KNUS back when it was the old KNUS. You know, that's where I met Peter Boyles. No, I was just a peon radio, you know, news person.
Wow.
But Peter and I, through the years, when I got into TV, he did a little bit of TV, worked together, as did the newspaper, on a lot of different stories. I mean, it was one of those nice synergy things where he would get something, I would get something, the newspaper would get something after we met you, and it would kind of all work together and fuel it and push it. But one of the things I kind of wanted, unless you wanted to say more about that, you said you wanted to talk, and then you said one sentence and you stopped.
Well, that's all needed for me.
That's all that's needed from you.
No, it's just, you know, it was interesting for people who listen to Peter's show. Billy identified that he was an asshole because that was all intended. If you all hate me, I intended for you all to hate me, and that was my job. And so
it worked.
It worked.
No, I'm sorry, Billy. Well, you know, here's what I have to say about that. I mean, one of the things, Peter, and we're talking for folks who are just joining us, Peter Boyle, today was his last radio show at 710 KNUS. One of the things that he talked about is that the radio industry changed, and I would submit, as did the TV industry. That's one of the reasons I got out. But what happened was, and I think there's a lot of stuff to be said about this, was the cancel crowd. There was a time, I remember years ago, I did a story at the TV station and somebody took offense at it and they took out an ad against me on Westward, mm-hmm. right? And they called the boss and made my life miserable for a little while and I had to explain things. But that was kind of the end of it, right? There was a time in this country where people, maybe it would be pushing it to say agreed to disagree, but at least we're willing to accept the fact that other people maybe looked at certain things differently than they did, and that you just kind of all move on. And not only do you all move on, but that was one of the things that made this country strong and made this country great. But since the Trump era and the progressive left, as their ideas get more, and the globalists, as their ideas get more and more and more unpopular, that doesn't work anymore, right? And what the cancel crowd does, and we were certainly victims of it, it's not enough to just disagree with somebody. Oh, no. It's not enough to criticize somebody. There are organized, well-funded, largely artificial efforts that are thrown at people to criticize them, to shame them, to get them fired, but more than that, even to just outright destroy them and their lives. Yeah. I mean, look what's going on with the lawyers, Trump lawyers, right? Yeah. It's not enough to just criticize them. It's not enough to say, we're not going to invite them to the parties anymore. It's not enough to say, I disagree with them. It's not enough even to get them fired from the law firms. They want them disbarred,
right?
They want them disbarred, never to practice again. When we got fired at KNUS because of the large bot operation there, I mean, the progressive left people have been trying to get us fired forever. Sure. And it was just a matter of time. And they went after the newspaper. I mean, we still have people calling, clients call and say, hey, somebody called and said, you guys are a bunch of racists, which it never had anything to do with race, but they want to destroy you. And I think what that did is that made corporate media run scared.
Yes.
And I would say, except for maybe Tucker Carlson.
Well, they've certainly made every effort in the world to try to cancel him.
Right.
And he's just, luckily, they tried to cancel Rush Limbaugh. And he said it was amazing when they put the machine together to go after you. And we certainly felt
it. And it is literally a machine. And they openly talk about that, right? I mean, that's part of
their thing.
But
corporate America, in return, doesn't have any protection of them. I mean, no one at 710 KNUS went, well, what are we going to do? They attack somebody and they just get rid of them and then they just move on. And you go, okay, well.
Well, but I think in a way that is one of the factors that is changing, and I think for the worse, what we would consider to be traditional media outlets like radio, like TV, because so many people are running scared of running afoul of the cancel crowd that you really can't do your job anymore. All you can do is be milquetoast and mediocre.
Well, just go on your radio, if you still have one, and throughout the day and try to find any interesting voices. At least Peter was an interesting voice. I mean, most of them, it's so bland that it's shocking. I mean, it's just kind of like, this person's going to be on for 4 hours.
Well, really? And the cancel, and again, you know, look at what's going on with Disney and all of this, the cancel crowd. And so it's one of the reasons I left at Fox, Channel 31 when I was working there, is it just became so difficult. Every day you were pounding your head against, they're like, you can't call them illegal aliens. And I'm like, that's a legal technical term. It's like, nope, couldn't do that. We did a story one time about a family in Aurora was complaining because the family next to them had a bunch of goats, and they were little baby goats, kids, I guess. And their children thought, oh, that's adorable, right? Mm-hmm. Until the day they watched the family take the goat, butcher it in their backyard and cook it over the barbecue for dinner, which, by the way, violates some zoning codes in Aurora. And so then they were Muslim. Right. And so we were going to do this story, and which was pertinent because it was sort of a cultural issue and a cultural clash. That was a story. Right. But the TV station news director said I couldn't mention that they were Muslim. And I'm like, but why? That's a pertinent fact. And I mean, that's where things have gone. And on the plus side of them destroying themselves by this fear and this terror of the cancel crowd is it has, I think, generated this whole other thing, the podcast that we're doing.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
it's generated Trump and Truth Social. You know, like I said, Facebook wouldn't let me share what we were going to, the article, a Fox News article that we were going to talk about with it had to do with the fact about the Trump missing pages, the Trump administration, White House missing pages that weren't missing after all. Again, Facebook said, no, that's abusive. You can't share it. I couldn't cut and paste. I couldn't do anything. It's creating, I think, this whole alternate universe of media. Right. And people are turning to that. And it is a place where, you know, it's going to be pretty hard to cancel us. And thank God for the guys at BBS. That's why we don't do spot. I mean, we're on Spotify, but they don't control us, right? And the BBS guys, they are true First Amendment believers. I mean, they're like, you want to do a show here?
Yeah.
You know, we'll put it on. Well, God bless them, right? Yeah, yeah, because, yeah. And believe me, they've been canceled. And they go after the folks at BBS radio to try to make their lives miserable because they don't want that, but it's becoming bigger. So I think in a great way, as the current traditional media dies, as always happens, right? You have this new, and it's confusing and it's hybrid, and you try to explain to people how to listen to us. And, you know, there are some people, I think, who don't even know what a radio is, right? Right, I mean, right. I remember dealing with that.
Well, Tom Martino pointed out he went out to look for a car. And the cars you're looking at, they don't include AM radio.
Oh, they don't?
No.
Oh, that's kind of interesting. Well, yeah. And so, but the mainstream, the corporate or the traditional media, they have no one to blame but themselves, because you know what? It does take all of us standing up. They count. I mean, the reason they want to destroy your life is they want to send a message like, this is what will happen to you, right? And so what we try to create here is a community where at least you feel like you can say what you think. We may disagree with you. Generally, we don't, but we might.
We may have to send somebody out for you, but not
we don't have anyone to send.
We'll send Tiger, the wonder dog.
But I think that's what, and people look for that, and that's what AM radio used to be, a community. But when everyone is too afraid,
radio used to be where the wild and crazy people were.
Right.
I mean, it used to be the place where everything was okay, and the disc jockeys and the
talk show hosts.
Everybody was a little bit crazy, which made it fun. Now they're just like, my God, they're like actuaries. I mean,
and accountants.
I mean, it's just kind of like, really? Are you going to discuss where you went to high school again? I mean, wow.
Well, and again, the cancel crowd is so, and they go after you with it's never clear exactly. You can say something that yesterday was okay, and then all of a sudden, shoom, they go after you. And it doesn't work because, you know, for instance, I saw the Babylon Bee. Well, it works. But there's a backfiring, I think, or a boomerang effect going on, where there is this whole alternate media that's cropping up. There is, I mean, and people realize it, and people still don't like it. If you talk to the average person out there, most of them don't like the fact that you can't share a post on that Facebook decides what you can or can't share. Right. Most people get that. I was talking to somebody, an old friend, just today, and they were like, you know, I finally was forced to get on Facebook, but I hate it. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, that's how we connected again.
Right.
And I saw the Babylon Bee is back on Twitter. Okay. So they canceled the Babylon Bee for naming, what's her name, Levine, the transsexual person who is the
man of the year, or woman of the year.
Or maybe it was man of the year. And the Babylon Bee called her the man of the year, and they were canceled. And so they wrote this incredibly sarcastic response. But again, you know, it's just a matter of time till Twitter catches up with them.
Right.
On the other hand, though, you know, you do have, and we're trying to get on it, the Trump Social. I mean, there are, Parler doesn't do it. Getter doesn't do it. Gab doesn't do it. None of those are quite up to speed. But the more this happens, the more I think that people are good. I mean, people find other places.
Yeah. It's sort of surprising there is no alternative, but like a lot of things, there are no alternatives. I mean, how many papers are conservative? I mean, it's just amazing how little choice you often have, and less in some cases, more now than ever. I mean, it's the Tucker, the Biden laptop. I mean, if you did not watch Fox News or go to the, you know, Gateway Pundit,
New York Post, directly,
you'd never heard it.
Yeah. What is somebody there? We're waiting for Anil Mathias going to come on. Anil, is that you? Or is that somebody else who wants to comment? Oh, we heard somebody.
No, it's Jacob.
Hey, Jacob. Go ahead. Hey, Jacob. Thank you for waiting. How are you today?
Yeah. Fine. I heard a great explanation on why Twitter and Facebook and the others canceled Donald Trump's accounts. It was because they wanted to do business in China. And China sat down with these social media and they told them, if you want to operate in China, you have to make Trump, you have to delete Trump's accounts. We don't want to hear from him. And that's why, just like the NBA. The second thing I wanted to say was, you know, Russia has 100 satellites in the sky. And you're telling me they can't see the back flank of the Ukrainian army? Give me a break.
Right.
They're playing us. They are playing the United States. They know exactly what they're going to do, and they're going to do it slowly. And my proof to that is, if you look in today's business papers, the ruble has come back to where
it was before. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, here's something that I think is scary. I mean, I'm going to go way down the rabbit hole here, so follow me if you want. But so one of the things I think that is happening is you've got all these globalists, right? And this is one of the things, and COVID is another. They want to get rid of a currency that's based on the US dollar. And they want to create essentially the cryptocurrency, only they want to have, it's sort of like an EU, right? The EU only a cryptocurrency that they control. That way then they can monitor everything we say and do. And I've been saying, if they can manipulate us to buy a purse, they can certainly do their best to try to manipulate us to want to live in urban density and to get rid of our car. I mean, I think there is, it's bigger than just that. I think that Ukraine is just one sort of shiny object that helps them get there. And meanwhile, distracts us. But Jacob, I think that there's something far bigger and far worse going on.
There always is.
Do you know what the opposite of a globalist is?
What?
An oligarch. Ah. And that is why, and this is why Russia is going after Ukraine. And I think the biggest fear in the Biden administration right now, especially now that Psaki is going to leave, is that once Russia gets their hands on that Burisma paperwork, they're going to smear Biden all over the world to the point that even the Democrats going to have to let him go.
Right. Yeah. I think clearly somebody in the deep state has decided that it's okay to talk about the Hunter laptop and
the memo went out and everybody came together.
And if Joe Biden gets trampled in the stampede, that's okay. I agree with,
But look what happened this week. There were 7 hours or 8 hours of phone calls that they couldn't find.
Right.
It's the deep state that is supposed to keep records of all this. So if anybody messed up, it was the
worse than that, Jacob. Did you see today they were forced to correct it? So what they said was, oh, actually, those were cell phones that they were using, which we don't. And they said that happened in the Obama administration. It happens in every administration since cell phones, right? They're like, oh, yeah, it's not bigger than Watergate. It's just cell phone records. So, I mean, that was a fake story, too, right? You know, CNN worse than Watergate. It's like, oh, actually, it's not missing at all.
No, never mind.
Or as one said today, another day, another hoax.
Thanks for calling, Jacob. Appreciate it.
Be well. All right, bye-bye.
Thank you, Jacob. Well, I mean, but at least, you know, the good news is you've got folks like Jacob and a lot of people who listen to us. The big thing I think, too, is sort of the take-home messages is that you got to pay attention and you got to always anymore ask yourself, what is going on here that maybe I don't see? And as we've learned, nothing is too far out. It's like, you know, what are they lying? I mean, you used to think, well, they wouldn't just lie. And it's like, no, of course, we know they would lie. And
then they wouldn't lie.
They wouldn't trick us. I mean, they wouldn't let a virus leak out of first, they wouldn't have the US government fund research to create a virus and then let it leak out of a lab. I mean,
and if you said they leaked out of a lab, then you became a conspiracist and Anthony Fauci and all his money and background, but you
and if
crusher.
You and if you questioned the CDC numbers, you were labeled a traitor, and you know the Department of Justice needed to open an investigation, and then boom, last week the CDC drops its estimate of pediatric deaths by 25%. So I mean, the bottom line is, and now do you believe that?
No.
I mean, was it 25%? Was it 60%? Was it 28%? I mean, who knows? The bottom line is, if you're the CDC and you're really in the middle of a pandemic, you would think that'd be something you want to get right. You know what I mean? Something you'd kind of want to track. So, but again, and going back to the cancel crowd, they keep trying to say, you can't talk about it. You can't talk about it. You can't talk about it. And we will destroy you if you do talk about it.
But can you imagine all these people who do, you know, only listen to the left side of the spectrum and so forth going, there's a laptop? You're kidding.
Right.
What nude pictures and him and sex and you're kidding. It's shocking.
Look at the latest ratings though. There's only like five people left who are watching. Right. I mean, NBC is totally their ratings were, let's see, CNN was down, I think like 58% over this time a year ago. MSNBC was down about the same amount. Fox was actually up 22%.
Right,
Although interestingly, Sean Hannity and Laura Ingraham are being edged out by the five.
By Gutfield.
Tucker Carlson.
Carlson kills him, yeah.
Right, and Greg Gutfeld. So that's kind of interesting too.
Yeah,
so, hey, TJ, we've got Anil in the waiting room. If you can go ahead and admit him, we can go ahead and bring him on up. If that's how you do it.
We
wanted to talk about we talked a lot. Oh, he's joining. We've talked a lot about the caucus system and the state assemblies, the assemblies that are going on. A couple weeks ago, we went to the Adams County Assembly.
Yes.
And now this weekend, tomorrow, we have to get up and go to the CD8 Assembly. And we've got GOP Chair Anil Mathai, who raced home to come on our show. Anil, my first question for you is, why does it have to start at 8:15? Why can't it start like around 11-ish, you know?
Well, Julie, that's a great question. It's 421 people. I mean, 418 delegates that need to be processed in 45 minutes. So the earlier you get there, the smoother we can get this started on time.
It sounds like we got to get everybody down in their seats because then the Donnybrook is going to go on.
Yeah, as usual, it sounds like, and wanted to get you to talk about this. So you were elected by the people in CDA to be the chair, and it's your job to know what the rules are and to follow the rules, unless, of course, the establishment doesn't like the rules. And then
that has somebody it wants in.
And then it's your job to do what they tell you. Am I understanding this correctly?
Yeah, I am a servant to the Central Committee of Congressional District 8. I follow through on bylaws and above all the law. And then for the meetings, every meeting, assemblies, they have a rule, rules that you have to follow. It's called adoption rules. And the same thing with central committee meetings. So I adhere to those rules in those meetings and make sure that I'm doing this per the law.
And who made those rules? You didn't just sit down one day and make up those rules and say, these are the rules according to
Ben,
Neo.
Ben did.
Yeah, Ben did. Ben Nicholas did.
No, the assembly of congressional district, the Central Committee members on January 20th created bylaws that they approved and also created some rules that are standard assembly / convention rules. Now, this is a non-presidential year, so it's called assembly. In a presidential year, it's called a convention. So these are rules that are proposed. And if the delegation wants to accept them outright, they can, or they can make changes to them. But that's up to the delegation. I serve them. I'm not, they don't serve me.
Well, tell us about your friendly disagreement with the chairman of the party.
Yeah, the chairman has dictated, that I need to submit to certain things that are in the bylaws. I keep reiterating, basically, without getting into the weeds here, that we are under 1-4-601, 1.5B. So candidates have certain requirements that they have to fulfill per the law. And we don't get to skirt those issues. And this requirement is clear. You follow this or your party rules. And so that so under our party rules, which will be rules for the assembly tomorrow, plus the law is what we would adhere to. The chairman has a different interpretation and it's unfortunate, but I reject that interpretation. So it's just an opinion. And again, the ultimate authority is not me, nor the state party chairman. It is the central. It is this committee called the assembly. And so that's what we're going to do to move forward. And it's what they want to decide accordingly.
Now, is there, from what I understand, there's a certain amount of, as you said, the candidates have certain rules. And these aren't like math problems or anything like that. It's just a certain basic issue. They have to divide fractions. It's just certain things they have to, one, let you know, let the party know that they want to be a candidate. They have to be a registered Republican for a certain period of time. They have to live in the area they're going to be representing. I mean, basic kind of rules that one would think if you're going to run for office, you would say, now, what are the rules that I need to follow?
No. So you haven't been in the higher echelons of the Republican Party.
Oh, sorry.
Here is how it goes. There's two sets of rules. There's a grassroots set of rules, and there's establishment set of rules. And so you don't know which to apply unless you know whether the candidate, in this case, is an establishment candidate or grassroots candidate. And if it's an establishment candidate, no rules apply. If it's a grassroots candidate, all the rules apply.
And then some.
So that's just, it just, you have to understand that.
I'm sorry, silly me.
Some people don't understand that. It's pretty well delineated in the bylaws, you know. Grassroots is here. This is where you follow here.
Establishment
over here. And the key one, of course, is the chair, KBB. Now
has her own rules that she can just
now we have
this reminds me when I was a kid I used to play Risk with my brother and he would just like
Risk,
make up the rules and be gone. I would like take over his country and be like, oh no, you can't do that. I'm like, why can't I do that? And he would cite this rule. I'm like, that's not a rule. So it sounds like playing Risk with my brother.
Well, here's the best part about it, and I did read some of the emails, but you know, we went down to the fall meeting, got unanimous support, 518 or whatever it was, to have a lawsuit, and they said the party should join and were its members and so forth. Now that somehow Christie hasn't figured out how to join that, the lawsuit just hasn't been able to. But
she's busy.
Busy. But here's the good part. Now she wanted to identify that anybody wanted to sue O'Neill could, and she would join that lawsuit. So she can join a lawsuit. It's the same rule. If the establishment like it, they'll join the lawsuit. And if they won't, it doesn't matter if 518 people say it is. So I thought it was a nice little touch.
It's unfortunate, but I won't tolerate that legal type of bullying. The election belongs to the people who went through caucus, who went through their county assemblies, who were elected, who came to this assembly. They are the people. It's we the people. My responsibility is to make sure, per the documents that we have, that we administer this. I do not like being threatened like this with the potential of going to court and having these candidates. Let me be very clear. We have 8 candidates across 3 elections. And as of right now, 5 of the 8 have qualified correctly per the law. That's what I administer. It's not my law. I don't actually like the law, okay? I think everyone should be nominated from the floor. It's an American thing, but the law is in place and the delegates can make the determination on the rules if they want to change it. But I do not like being bullied like this. And I think people need to understand what went on. And that's why I believe in transparency. That's why I sent the entire email chain to the people I report to, the Central Committee of Congressional District 8. And then I sent it to the entire delegation that's coming tomorrow. And that's why people need to understand what's going on. I sent it to the candidates of exactly, hey, here's how you fit. Here's the laws. Here's your names. Here's your roles. It's a color-coded Excel spreadsheet. Here's the answers. Here's the emails, et cetera. And people should read all of this and get their conclusion. But I do not like it when people start to threaten and bully. It is getting tired, and we need to save our country. And I will administer this meeting per the law, as per the delegates of this assembly. But people need to stand up and wake up and understand what goes on in the background. The corrupt people or those who don't want to play loose with the rules or whatever you call them, they don't want you to know what's going on. And I've told basically over 500 people in a legal document, in an email, exactly what went on. And I think people are furious right now. And people are furious on my side to say thanks. And I've received calls today and email saying, thank you so much. We did not know. Thank you so much. We did not know. I said, time for you to know.
Well, and you know, Anil, exactly. I didn't know. And so what we're talking about here too, and I'll go ahead and I know as a chairman, you might want to, but so there were a couple, well, there are three candidates who did not meet the requirements. And again, these are not requirements or any surprises or basic requirements. One of them is Barbara Kirkmeyer. And my guess is she's more of an establishment candidate running for Congress.
Is an establishment candidate.
And Lori Sain is the other one, is a grassroots candidate. Right. Now, Lori Sain has met all of the requirements. Barbara Kirkmeyer did not. So technically, what that means is right now, when the delegates vote tomorrow for who they want to be on the primary ballot, and the, people can go through the petition route, but if when they vote on this, technically, right now, your position is, for instance, they can't vote for Barbara Kirkmeyer because, right? I mean, is that bottom, sort of the bottom line situation? Yeah, unless they, and we could get into what they can do to address that, but.
Yeah, just for clarification, Senator Kirkmeyer also petitioned on, State Senator Kirkmeyer has petitioned on, and her petitions went through, and her public information was clear that they were going to go through the petition route just a couple of days ago.
Right.
So regardless, I've also had the petition candidates, they're, you know, they're going in a different route, but what has concluded is based on the issues, the laws and those kind of things, you have two candidates are qualified to be nominated from the floor for the U.S. House of Representatives.
Right.
And the same also for the Colorado Board of Education. Two candidates have qualified. And there's one candidate that has qualified for the CU Board of Regents. So a total of five candidates have qualified per the law and our rules, and they can be nominated from the floor based on the current rules. If the rules change, then it depends on what was passed accordingly, and then that could open up to others, or if the rules have been accepted as is, it is those five candidates for those three different races. So that's what we do here, is just that we want to make sure we follow the laws and adhere to the rules of our assembly, and that if the people want to make a change, go ahead. And here's the background thing here. Some people don't want to make changes because it kind of exposes people. Why did five people meet the law and the other three did not?
Right.
So that's a tough question to answer, and I'll leave that with the campaigns. But the bottom line is this: if people want to make changes, they can do it on the floor. This is a democracy in the situation of CDA, and we're going to move accordingly.
Right.
Well, but isn't Barbara Kirkmeyer a kind of an establishment candidate?
My role, Chuck, is regardless of.
I have to administer the system. But she is an establishment candidate. And therefore, the other rules apply. You're applying the grassroots rules that apply to grassroots candidates, and she's over here with the establishment rules. And here, you know, her rules are: she calls KBB and says, "Hey, get that crazy guy up in CDA to stop it and put me on the ballot."
Well, you know, as a delegate, and you know, I'm going to say this to me. Okay, so we're entrusting these people with a lot of responsibility. It seems like, you know, one of the key things that they should be able to do is follow these really fairly minor rules. I understand.
That's true for grassroots people.
Okay, Julie. You're right.
Julia, here's the clarification. The law does not decide who's grassroots and who's established. The law applies to all. Now, I'm an engineer. Chuck is the attorney, okay? But I know is it doesn't say.
It's like the same rules in the Justice Department apply to Republicans and Democrats. No, they don't.
Of course.
Let him finish. Theoretically.
If you want to know who an establishment person is, if you're unclear, that happens sometimes. It's not. Then you call KBB. And she'll tell you, yes, that is an establishment candidate, or it's not. No, not an establishment. And then you know how to proceed after that. And it's a system we've had in the Republican Party for over 20 years. And
which is why we have no statewide election.
Well, that's key, right? That's the key to making sure we lose every election we can.
There are a few of us, Chuck, that as you and Julie and others and myself in this formal role, are going to come back to the law and make sure it's applicable to all individuals. We have to clean up the mess. And you're right, there can't be any extra interpretation. But It's extremely important. You cannot be bullied and threatened with lawsuits and when you're trying to follow the law. It's unbelievable. It's reprehensible that is what the state party chairwoman has done. And people need to fully understand what she did in addition to other things. So, kudos to the grassroots that will show up to whoever, all the registered Republicans that will show up tomorrow. They'll have their voice heard according to the rules of the assembly tomorrow. And they'll also have their voice heard and be consistent with the law that we have. And that's what I'm trying to push for.
All right.
And here's another, it's another example of Chrissy Burton Brown remaining neutral, right? Just like she did. Yeah. Just like she did in the Tina Peters race where she told Tina to resign. She was neutral there. And she's neutral here by saying, let's let this establishment candidate break the rules and get on the ballot, even though the grassroots person, or maybe get on the ballot, at least be nominated.
And I really do admire, you know, most people, if you have the party chair threaten you, threaten with lawsuits and everything else, they fold like a cheap suit.
No, Neil, you are great. Exactly.
Neil just goes, no, I'm not feeling like a cheap suit. And maybe is KBB going to come up and help us out up there?
Maybe.
I am focused on the delegation, Chuck. I don't care who shows up or who doesn't. I'll be respectful to all individuals. But the thing is, here's my real message. To the party officers at the county, and at the House district and Senate district, all these district officers, I implore them to know the bylaws. I implore them above all to know the law. I implore them not to listen to some kind of interpretation and then all of a sudden put them into a legal situation. It's happening across the state. We've had 107 plus districts that were dissolved. They were all elected properly last year. All of a sudden, you know, and then here's the thing about that one. I contacted the Secretary of State's office related to
my house. You know that's illegal, don't you?
Yeah, I contacted them as a Republican member. And he said, who was elected last year in my House District 20, my new House District 29? Can I get the officers and the bylaws that were there? And then there was a law change that says, no, you're supposed to send that to a state party. They compile all these districts, and then they send it to the Secretary of State's office within 45 days. Well, the Secretary of State's office contacted me back after two emails and said, we don't have that list. What we have is a state party list, and what we have is a state, which is a central committee, and we have the state bylaws. And I emailed them again, said, where are the bylaws and the elected officers from last year? Well, that's not filed with our office. I said, that's interesting, because that's against the law that talks about a compiling list that the state party was supposed to do. So I think people should all contact the Secretary of State's office for their respective House district and Senate district and ask the same questions I asked. Where were the bylaws and who was elected last year? And if they don't get information, they need to reach out to the Secretary of State's office or other, maybe the AGs, and find out why the law was not enforced. Where is this compiling list according to the law? These are things that people need to start doing and not listening to people automatically because they think they know everything. They don't.
Well, I was there for the HD 29 meeting, which you missed. And luckily, we had the mayor of our town announce that KBB had selected the officers and determined them without a vote necessary by anybody else. I objected and raised a ruckus, but that doesn't do any good. And I should have just recognized my own rules.
Well,
establishment, grassroots. Right.
Then again, you know, so folks are listening to make this just even broader, because you know what you're doing. And once again, thank you, because it's like you get paid a lot for doing this, right? And you know, because this is,
you wouldn't believe the draft
available. Actually, I put up most of my money to fund this to move towards some kind of conclusion here. It's amazing.
And so this is something you're doing, and basically,
it's Ben's fault.
It's Ben's fault. But I mean, basically. So people are clear, there are rules for this kind of thing, and these are not massively cumbersome rules. This is like, you got to let somebody know 30 days ahead of time. You got to let the state party know, which they clearly could do. I mean, all these people have been out there campaigning. I've been getting their mail for more than 30 days. So how hard would it be to just call up or email you and email, you know, the state and say, hey, I'm running. How hard would it be able to say, hey, I can prove I live where I live. Here's my address. I mean, and like you said, five of the eight candidates managed to do this. So it's not like it was like, you know, brain surgery or something. And it is outrageous that this party chair would be trying to step on our district and say, no, you have to break the rules because the candidate I favor didn't follow them.
She's neutral.
Now, even though I'm neutral, and you should, it's a party chair's you know, they should make sure they're sending out the right information. I mean, I don't know how that all goes, but she should be saying to Barbara Kirkmeyer, you should follow the rules. I'm sorry, you know.
Well, I will say this, Julie. Again, the three people who didn't qualify, they're good people. There's no issues whatsoever. We're fellow Republicans. There's no issues whatsoever. But the law is the law. And I have to enforce it. And so just it's unfortunate that, you know, attempts are asking me to go around that or not follow right. that accordingly. But I will say that the law is the law. So, Chuck, whenever you get a chance, and if your people, you know, those who are listening, 1-3-103, Section 7, says no later than 45 days after the organizational meeting authorized by the section, the state party shall file with the Secretary of State a compiled list of all the officers elected and vacancy committee members selected, along with their addresses and telephone numbers. I'd like to know where that compiled list was that was supposed to be filed last year of all the districts. Why the Secretary of State's office does not have that list. I think that's important for all Republicans to go and find out.
It's committed to memory by KBB. Yeah. She has it up here. Yeah. And therefore, you can ask her about like our House District, HG 29, and she can tell you who the officers are and doesn't have to refer to any other outside paper.
Well, let me state this, Chuck. If anyone broke the law or those kind of issues across the multiple districts, I can tell you the state party chairwoman will not be there in court saying, no, I back them up with my memory. Yeah. It is up to the party officers across all districts to know the law and to enforce their rules and or change them accordingly. We the people starts with the people that turn up at these meetings, and that's what I would do. But well, if you don't, you are risking
issues. Are you sure you're talking about the Republican Party of Colorado?
Here's where it matters. You know, as Republicans, we talk about election integrity, right? And that is extremely important. And this is where it starts. How can you complain about election integrity? How can you talk about election integrity when you say at the most basic level, at the caucus or at the assembly, the very first vote to get people, you know, on the ballot or not on the ballot, we're not going to follow our own rules.
Julie, you're right. And on election integrity, you know what I'm going to do tomorrow is people are going to put their ballots, you know, they're going to write their candidates on what we give as a ballot. They're going to fold it and come up to the front of the auditorium and drop them in clear containers. We're going to take the containers onto the stage, and the teller committee will count the votes in front of the entire assembly, not in some back room, but right there in front of everybody. And that's where the count is going to be. There's no need for additional monitors or, you know, all this other stuff. It'll be done in front of everybody. And I trust the teller committee to do accordingly. And all of the delegates will see what's going on. That's called election integrity.
Right. I keep on having to kind of, because she's just new to the Republican Party. She's totally new. She used to be a Democrat.
She's awesome. She's awesome, Chuck. She's awesome.
So, you know, election integrity, right? I mean, in Colorado,
we have the gold standard. I forgot.
Yeah, election integrity is a key issue to a lot of Republicans. If you go around the state, and Neil and I did, and it's very important. So when KBB came up with her commitment to Colorado, whatever it was, everyone looked at, you know, I think it's 8 points, maybe it was 10. And we said, well, there's nothing about election integrity. not a thing, not a one. But luckily, she informed us, oh, not a problem. Z number 8, it says transparency. And that's sort of kind of election integrity. So there you go. No need to tell the voters in Colorado that we care about election integrity. Just use bromides. Bromides are better.
Chuck, you are right. But the thing is this, election integrity is trusting our vote. Right. Whether our candidate won or lost, we want to make sure that it was counted and it was proper. And everyone who voted was allowed to vote. And they were here legally to vote, and all votes were counted. And no matter who wins at the end of the day, the process was right. And we don't have the gold standard. What I personally believe we have is the green standard. And that's the problem. We better get off of the gold standard and get into the green standard. But the way our nation is going, the gold and the green are becoming worthless.
I'd kind of call ours the brown standard.
We can't say that word on the radio. No, well, you know, and again, it all kind of, it's annoying It's worse than annoying. It's an outrage. I'll go strong here. It's an outrage that the state party chair, what she should be doing is backing you up. And the answer is, like you said, or she should be telling people, putting out emails saying, hey, look, we need to change this so these people can be nominated from the floor. One of those. It's not to threaten you with a lawsuit upholding the rules. It's like she's a chairperson. If she doesn't like the rules, she has plenty of clout to do things to get them changed. But threatening to sue you for enforcing them, that's like the wrong answer.
It's a nice finish. I hope we all come to a reasonable accommodation and do what I want.
Yeah. We definitely will come to a reasonable conclusion. It's called the law and the assembly rules that the assembly adopts. And that's what's going to happen tomorrow. Is I want great turnout, people to show up, be passionate about your candidates for the ones who have qualified per the law. If you want to change the rules, you can. That's up to you. I will just say there were 5 of 8 candidates that did follow the law. There's no issues whatsoever in the 3 that didn't. They're great people. But this is the way the law was set, and this is where the rules are, and it's up to the delegation, we the people, to decide. And I will administer it accordingly. And if I continue to get these legal threats from the state party chairman, she is off base whatsoever. Amazing arrogance to do that kind of stuff. And every party officer across its entire state, across all the counties, all congressional districts, should stand up and oppose her immediately for this. Because if she does it to me, she's doing it to others, or could do it. Enough is enough. You want to stop playing these games? I will. They don't know me. I don't play these kind of games. They've already taken me to court once a couple years ago. I won with an attorney who it was a President Trump's attorney, Jenna Ellis, at the time. And we need to stop this. We need to expose it and cut it off. Enough is enough. Follow the law and follow our rules, and we the people will win. That's what my position is.
Now,
end on that. That was perfect.
That was perfect. Now, you're not going to be taking any Red Bull to this thing.
John Godfrey. No, I need to calm down. This is an administrative function, so I need to make sure.
Well, but you're right about that. And, we will let you go because you've been great. We will see you there tomorrow.
Thank you.
We appreciate
it. Good job, Neil. Good job.
Thank you.
Love you guys. Thanks so much. Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay. And there's a ton of comments there. But I mean, so that's kind of summed it up. Here's the thing. There are rules. And the reason the rules are there, like your mother would tell you, is to keep things reasonable. Because can you see the mess? I mean, let's say that I'm Lori Sane and I've worked hard. I followed all the rules and I've got my delegates and I'm hoping that I can get top line for the nomination for Congress coming out of the assembly. Right.
Yeah.
But then all of a sudden you've got the state party chair saying, oh, well, we're going to let this other person, Barbara Kirkmeyer, she can get on even though she didn't follow the rules. Well, if I'm Lori Sane, that's annoying to me, right? Not only that, but that possibly opens up legal channels. I mean, it becomes a mess, right? Well, that's why you have the rule. I understand, but that's why you have the rules
the
to
rule
keep
is,
it from becoming a
does,
mess.
Does Christy Burton Brown like you or Barbara Kirkmeyer? If she likes you, well, then that applies if she likes Barbara Kirkmeyer. And this is, I forget who it was, the last election go round, who failed to get enough signatures for his...
Is that Lamborn? No,
I
forget
one.
Who.
It was
okay.
Another one. And so so then he just went to the assembly and said, well, you know, everybody said, oh, okay, we'll just change the rules and you don't have to anymore. I mean, it's a long tradition of our esteemed Republican Party that the rules don't really apply.
Well, again,
it's a great tradition.
I would just argue, and we're going to do, I have a whole show planned on election integrity and the Wisconsin issue and the True the Vote people, so we'll postpone that till Monday. But it all starts there. I mean, it all starts, the first step in Colorado to getting on the ballot is to go through the caucus and the assembly process, right? This is the very first vote. Now, you can also do it with petitions, and that's another route, but it starts here. And if you don't have integrity here, right, it's like, I mean, it becomes a mess. I mean, we've seen what happened with Hugh McCain. We've seen what's happened in Larimer County and El Paso County. If the rules aren't clear, and if it's not clear that the rules are going to be followed, then it creates a mess and all kinds of issues.
Well, did you get that wonderful email from Doug Lamborn saying he was going to go the assembly route, but now he no longer has confidence in El Paso leadership because they're not establishment hacks, but he'll come to the assembly just to say hi to you. And that's the kind of guy you love.
Well, again, if these are not complicated rules, and to a certain extent, it kind of has me concerned that you're going to run for office, something you'd think you would take seriously, right? Wow. Something that you would have, you'd think somebody would be like, this is important to me. I'm going to, you know, let's look and see what the qualifications are, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, I mean, it's like, you know, you don't fill a form out, right? Well, you have to fill a form out, right? You have to follow the rules, and the rules are simple, you know? And it's not like it's a surprise. They've all got mailers going out. They've all got campaign staff.
I know.
Call me crazy. But God bless Anil for standing up, because I can assure you guys, it is not easy for people like Anil to stand up to the state party chair again.
He's threatened to sue you.
Threatened to sue you again.
Again.
But he's absolutely right. If they can do it, I mean, if they can do it to Anil, they can do it to other chairs.
They do do it.
Well, they do it.
They do do it.
No, exactly. And they do. And it's time, I think, for us Republicans to stop and say, no, I'm sorry, you work for us, right? I mean, that's this whole elected thing. People seem to have it confused, and they think we work for them and we do what they say. It's like, no, it's the other way around. You work for us. We elected you to do what we want. Now, I know, call me silly. That's my Party Friday thought. but we will be at the assembly, and we'll report back on Monday what happened. I can tell you, I'm going to vote right now, because I'm like, rules are rules, right? It's sort of like your kid, you tell them to follow the rules, they don't, and they want, you know, if you have to have your, you know, your field trip form in by a certain time, and if you don't, well, you don't get to go on the field trip, right? Well, I mean, it's a similar kind of thing. So
we'll see what happens.
Let me read quick some of the comments. poor Chuck is dying. Peg and Donna. Okay, sorry. Peg and Dr. Donna are having their own kind of thing. It's pretty cute here. All the side Chuck and Julie shows that go on. Well, Monday, then, I will go ahead, because I have it all prepared, some astonishing information. I've come to the conclusion, the more they scream conspiracy, crazy conspiracy theory, the more true that it is. And listening to and reading the report that the True the Vote folks put out in Wisconsin.
Well, you should read the report that Gableman came out, his interim report. And to
on election integrity.
To that, the response has been from various Republicans. Oh, God, geez. Well, let's go to the next.
What
election.
It does is it explains how it was done. Not just it explains what was done and how it was done. Right. And it also explains in part why Colorado Secretary of State Jenna Griswold is so intent on pushing the changes through that would give her total control over the election and throw anyone in jail who questions her. So a lot to unpack there. But thank you to Anil. And thank you to everybody commenting on Zoom. Thank you once again to the great folks at BBS Radio who keep freedom alive by allowing shows like ours on.
And have a great April Fool's. April Fool's Day. Our son did.
Oh, so this morning I'm getting Robert to go to school, because I forget the day. And he goes, Mom, because I have something to tell you. He's 11. He completely tricked me. He goes, yeah. He says, I got a 0 on the math test. And I was like, what? Because that's one of his favorite subjects. I'm like, do we need to go over it or what can we do? And he goes, I don't know. I think it's just too late. And then he goes, April Fools. I was like,
oh. You a little stinker.
Anyway, thank you to everybody there. Have a great Party Friday. We'll see you on Monday.
Take care.